I talked to the kids about what kind of things scared them. Well, I maybe wouldn't frame it quite that way, but I'll just say I hate being home alone at night, which is a little weird because both of my parents worked nights. And from the time I was old enough to be able to dial the telephone to call them if I needed to, I was home alone about five nights a week. But even so, I hate it to this day. I put off going to bed as long as I possibly can. I have every light in the house on, and I make sure all the doors are locked, even though when everyone is home, the doors are hardly ever locked. And I make the dogs sleep with me, even though Virg will attest that when everyone's home, I kind of whine and complain about what a bed hog the dog is. Well, there was one night a few years ago when Virg and the boys were all gone for the weekend and I had stayed home for church, and it came time for bed and I made the dog come upstairs with me and I closed it, locked all of the doors and probably left a few lights on just in case, and we were up in the bedroom and I was just finally beginning to doze off when I swear I heard the front door slam. Now that was impossible because I knew I had locked that door. But as I sat up, bolt upright in bed with my heart pounding out of my chest, I noticed something. The dog was fast asleep, snoring even. And as I began to think about that, I began to realize that there's no way somebody could actually be in the house, because if there was, the dog would be at the door wagging his tail wanting to go greet whoever was there. Fear is a powerful force, and it's one that we all deal with at various times in our life and to varying degrees. There are big fears and small, even sillier, ridiculous fears. But nevertheless, we all deal with fear. But so did the disciples. Just before our scripture reading begins today, we see the feeding of the 5,000. And just before that story, we have the passage where John the Baptist is beheaded by King Herod. So all of this is taking place. This story that we read is taking place just in that evening. After Jesus has learned of his cousin's death, after the crowds would not leave and he miraculously fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just a few loaves and fish. And the very next verse, the beginning of our reading today, says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismiss the crowds. Jesus sent them on an errand across the lake. Now, if you remember, if you were here last week, we talked a little bit about this Sea of Galilee. It's really a lake. It's 13 miles north to south, and at its widest point, it's about 8 miles east to west. It's a good-sized lake, not the Mediterranean Sea, not the Caribbean Sea. This is a lake. So he sends them on this errand. We don't know exactly where they were supposed to go, but they did need to come back to get Jesus. But while they were out on the lake, the storm came up. And they had to row into the wind to try to make it back. Now, if you're part of our Bible study, we learned today that the boat that they were in would have been about 25 feet long and about 2.5 feet deep. This is not a big boat. It's not a huge sailing vessel. There is no below deck. Probably would have been a single mast and 4 oars. But of course, with the winds, they couldn't have the sail up for fear of breaking the mast. So these 4 oars, these 4 of the 12 are having to row at various times into the wind to try to get back to shore. And just before dawn, storm still raging, in that darkness before the dawn, they see something coming towards them on the waves. Now, they have been battling this storm all night. They are tired. They are stressed out. And now there's something on the water. And they cry out. They shriek. It's a ghost. After all, nothing or no one could be on the water. But a voice cries out to them, a familiar voice, ringing out over the top of the water, saying, "Guys, don't be afraid. It's me." I can only imagine, in their tired, stressed out fatigue, at their wits' end, how they would have reacted to that. Now, if you were in their shoes, what would you do? I have to admit, I probably would have just put my head down and kept on rowing, because whatever I saw out there isn't real. I'm tired. I'm seeing things. Just get to shore. But not Peter. Peter yells back to whatever this thing was out on the lake and says, not something sane, like, "Hey, Jesus, I'm going to throw you a rope so you can get in the boat with us." That would have been logical, but not Peter. Peter says, "Hey, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you out there on the water." Do you hear how insane that sounds? Have you ever been out on a boat in a storm? And the waves are rocking the boat? I can tell you the last thing I want to do in that moment is to climb out into the water. But Jesus says to him, "Come on." And so that's when things really get crazy, because Peter does get out of the boat. He does it. He climbs out of the boat, and with his eyes fixed on Jesus, he starts walking on the water, on the waves, in the wind and the rain. He got out of the boat. Now, I just want to stop and hear that sentence from Scripture again, because to me, Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. In the middle of the storm, Jesus called to Peter to leave the comfort, the semi-security of the boat, and walk on the water. And that's exactly what Peter did. This is not still water. The storm is still raging, remember? Because the very next sentence says, "But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened." Now, I think that is maybe the biggest understatement in Scripture. Imagine you have climbed out of a boat. You find yourself several feet away from the boat, maybe several yards, standing on top of the water. This is not February in the Dakotas. It is not iced over. He is standing on raging, waving water, and he notices the wind. He took his eyes off of Christ, and he began to sink. But then we get the most beautiful part of this passage, because it says, immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. Jesus didn't sprint towards him. He didn't leap for him. He reached out. Peter had made it far enough across the waves that he was within arm's reach of Jesus. Jesus caught him. He did not let the waves overtake him in his fear. Friends, when storms hit in life, literal or figurative, and man, have we had some storms this week, huh? When you feel like you are going to drown, when you have struggled so long that you don't know if you can make it till morning, listen. Listen for a voice calling to you, telling you, don't be afraid. It's me. Jesus comes to us in the midst of our storms. No waves are too high, no wind is too strong. He sees us in our distress and he comes to us. And so what'll you do? Will you stay in the boat? It's the safer choice. And you can do that. You can keep rowing for shore with all your strength like the 11 did. Or you can ask Jesus to call you out onto the waves. You can face whatever storm that is head on. You can step out of your comfort zone. You can reach beyond your own strength and rely on Jesus. Because if Jesus called you out of the boat, Jesus will not let you sink. Jesus calls you out of your comfort zone in the chaos of life's storms. Jesus will keep you safe. You know, we've spent the last several weeks here talking about discipleship, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I cannot think of this particular passage of Scripture without thinking of a Bible study I did, I don't know, 15 years ago maybe now, maybe even more. We were doing a church-wide study similar to this one with the sermon series and the small groups, and it was based on a book by John Ortberg called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Gotta Get Out of the Boat. Now that seems like a no-duh kind of statement. But the whole premise of that study was that if you want to be able to do great things for Christ, then you need to have faith enough to step out of the boat. And it was that study that helped me find the courage to step out of my comfort zone. It was that study that inspired me to start leading small groups, to get involved in the youth program. Now, it was several years after that before I received my call to vocational ministry, but I never would have gotten here without stepping out in faith at that time. Peter would have never had the experience of walking on water if he had only thrown Jesus a rope that night. Instead, on a day in which he saw Jesus feed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish, he had faith enough to do the unthinkable. And with Jesus, the unthinkable became reality. Peter, the fisherman, knew well enough the dangers of being out on the lake in the midst of a storm. And yet it was Peter who asked Jesus to call him out upon the waves. But it was also Peter, the flawed but faithful disciple, who then remembered what it was he was trying to do. He noticed the wind and the waves and had a moment of panic. Even when we step out in faith, even when we keep Jesus in our sights in the midst of our storms, even then we too may have moments in which we notice the storm. We will have moments where we too take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to feel the water go over our head. What storm are you in the midst of today? Whatever it is, Jesus is coming to you on the waves. Hear him say to you, don't be scared. I'm here. Ask him to call you to him, and then have the faith to step out of your comfort zone to do what feels impossible. Keep your eyes fixed on him, and you cannot fail. But even if the winds and the waves begin to get to best of you, just call out as Peter did, Lord, take my hand. And he is right there. Amen.